Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello, good Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Bounce. I do trust today that we have a ray of sunshine coming to your heart and life. We've had enough grief, enough sorrow, enough sickness, enough pain to last us for a lifetime. But today I'm bringing good news to you, and that good news is Jesus loves you. What greater news do we need to hear than the love of God to shed abroad in every heart? And thank God, because of Him, we can live also. So let's get right into our broadcast today. I want to do this song for you starting out here this morning before the Thanksgiving. And it says, "We want America."
Something is wrong with America. She once held the Bible as her comforting guide. We've allowed those who hold nothing to be sacred, like Solomon of old, they push Moses aside. Now where are the men who once stood for right, and the women who championed their cause? We must return to the values we've left before this country is totally lost. We want America back. We want America back from those who have no self-control. We want America back. This nation is like a runaway train. I love America, but I just don't love what she has become. The scripture said, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord." And America has forgotten the godly foundation upon which she would build. Yes, something is wrong when our children are asked to attend public schools that in many cases resemble war zones, without even the basic right of any soldier, the right to pray to the God of heaven. Many times a wild-eyed, drug-addicted, gun-carrying teenager is allowed to stay in school, while our Supreme Court decided to expel God from all the classrooms over 30 years ago. Yes, something is wrong. Television daily bombards the truth of our nation with the idea that wrong is right, and the abnormal is normal, that all is acceptable. And what God calls an abomination is no more than just our lifestyle. And it has left a great effect. 30 years ago, the number one TV show in America was the Andy Griffith Show. But just look at us now, what we have today. Yes, something is wrong when our government can pass out contraceptives to our children in school without even their parents' consent. And yet the Gideons cannot pass out the Bible on the campus. Something is wrong when our leaders can say to your children and mine that premarital sex is all right as long as it's safe sex. Yet something is wrong. And for one, I'm ready for the change. I'm ready to say to my government, I am not raising dogs in my home, I'm raising children, created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And I'm going to teach them the Bible. If the Bible says it's right, then it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, right, then it's wrong. The only hope that America has, that if godly men and women with character will stand together like one great mighty army and declare to the immoral and the impure and the obscene and to the proud, your days of unlimited excess of America is over. For the armies of God, they've been silent too long. Yes, my friend, today we're going to take America back.
Yes, sir, we're going to take America back. Thank God for the elections over now, and we're turning around our country. We do hope. Let's pray for our new president. I know that he's got a hard job, and I know a lot of people are protesting today. But let's give him a chance to see what he can do, because, hey, after all, nothing can hurt our country like it's already been hurt. So let's pray one for another, and let's bind our hearts together and kind of help. Instead of hurting, we can help each other. I call this broadcast Something to Believe In, and you've supported me for many years. You've blessed the hearts of many people. I appreciate Carol and Ann Cole. I appreciate James and Louise Ellison, and they've been faithful friends, and Ernie and Betty Joe and Mary Harper and Patty. And I've missed a lot of my friends lately. I haven't heard from several of them for a little while. And it kind of bothers me when I don't hear from them. Miss Edward Ballinger, I haven't heard from him for a while. I hope they're doing well. The last thing I got was that they were in the hospital. She was having problems. I've been praying for you. I hope that you're praying for me also. Then Glenna Brown. I haven't heard from Glenna Brown for a while. I hope she's doing well. Then Arvin Neely. I hope that Arvin Neely, Arvin's wife, is doing well. And remembering Arvin, Arvin has passed away. And then Ruby Dixon. I ain't heard from her for a little while. And then always remembering Betty Spranger over in Linside. And we've got a lot of people that listen to this broadcast. I know a lot of people who comment on it every day. We go along the way, and we run into people who say, hey, I hear that broadcast. I'd like to hear more of Martha singing. Well, we don't have that much of Martha's music, but we try to get on what we can. So let's go right back now and listen to this song, and hope you enjoy this one also.
There'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. There'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. Lost a loved one. Well, I know you have too. Though we don't know the answer, but God's word said it's true. We're still full of questions, still caught off of guard. When we drive to the graveside and our loved ones let down, but there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. There'll be no in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. Why, you know life on this old earth, why, it's very short at its very best. You see, we're going to run out of living in these fragile old tents. Oh, but there's a brighter day. It's coming. in that land of no night. Where we'll be precious just with Jesus. And you know then, everything's gonna be all right. Oh, there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. And there'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. Get home.
Yes, sir, there'll be no grace when we all get home.
Now, I remember that the preacher was preaching one time, and he said, there'll be no undertakers in heaven. And some undertaker wrote him a letter and said, I beg your pardon, sir. Well, us preachers make mistakes every now and then. But listen, I want to remember Virgil and Sandra Caldwell in today's broadcast. They said, we always listen to your broadcast. As always, you and Martha are always in our prayers. I want you to remember Martha. She's not doing any good this Thanksgiving. We'll go over and have Thanksgiving dinner with her, me and the boys. And I'll tell you, it's just a sad situation. But you. Continue to pray for her. And I'll tell you, we've got so many sick people around. I talked with a boy today, and he told me about his sister, 44 years old, down there in Florida, started chemo today and eat up with cancer. And I know so many people that are sick, and it just burdens my heart to know that. I know I've got people in my listening audience that's sick also. And we never know what day is going to hit us. So let's pray one for another and lift each other up in prayer, okay? Let's go right now and listen to this next song, and I'll be right back with some more announcements.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked up on the streets of gold beside that crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then I hear someone call your name. You turned, and I saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. Why, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would begin. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Yes, I thank you for giving to the Lord, for I'm a life that's been changed. And I'm so glad that you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his picture made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Yes, I just want to say, I'm a life that was changed. And I'm so glad that you gave. Well, one by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. The little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on this earth, in heaven, is now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But I'm almost sure that there were tears in the eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is now your reward." Yes, I just want to thank you for giving to the Lord. And I'm so glad that you gave. For I'm the one that you saved.
Yes, sir, you never realize what this broadcast means to so many people. And people are being saved, people are being touched by it. And that's not right, that's simply facts. I have heard of people who have given their life to the Lord due to the fact that the ministry is going throughout the airway. And I just want to say thank you. Personally, I thank you for this Thanksgiving. We've been on this radio ministry since 86. And that's a long time to be on one radio station, but we've been here since 86 because people like you have stood by me faithful. And I just want to say thank you personally, and I'm hoping that you'll have a great, great Thanksgiving.
Why did he go to Calvary? Was his lifeblood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one. Seems no one cares for me as he does. I talk with Jesus. He loves me.
Today I would like to speak on the lamps that we must keep lit. I have chosen for my scripture today in 2 Chronicles 29, chapter 29, verse 1 through 9. I'm going to begin to read in the third verse. Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them in the first month and the first year he was king. Hezekiah brought in the priests and Levites. He gathered them in the courtyard of the east side of the temple. Hezekiah said, "Listen to me, Levites. Make yourselves ready for the Lord's service, and make holy the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove from the temple everything that makes it impure. Our ancestors were unfaithful to God, and they did what the Lord said was wrong. They left the Lord and stopped worshiping at the temple where he lives. They rejected him. They shut the doors of the porch of the temple, and they let the fires go out in the lamps." Yes, we must keep the lights burning. The Bible said we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's only fit to be trodden among men. But then also, if the light be hid under the bushel, where that men cannot see the light, then, my friend, we are not doing what God has called us to do. You see, the priests of Israel, they were charged with dressing the lamps in the tabernacle so they would never go out, in verse 7. The lamp of God's Word. God's Word, the Bible said, is the only thing that will be standing when the world is on fire. David said, "It's like a lamp unto my pathway." There were times when we loved the Word of God. There was times when we listened to the Word of God. But today, men have rejected the Word of God. It's been said that there is 100 different translations, and yet we still don't have it right. I know that there are many translations. I just read from a different translation than what you're used to. But regardless of the translations, God has never changed. God said, "I will be the same today, yesterday, and forever. My word is forever settled in heaven." The most blessed book that we have in our possession is the Word of God. It is the lamp unto our pathway. It teaches us right from wrong. It teaches us how to live. As a matter of fact, the Ten Commandments were not given for a burden. The Ten Commandments were given that you and I may live according to the Word of God. And Paul said that we might prosper, be well in health, even as our soul is prospered. So the lamp of God's Word must continue to be preached. I feel very confident today that God's Word needs to be preached more entirety than it ever has. We need to preach it in power. We need to preach it as Pentecost. We need to preach it so men's hearts will be pricked, so that men's hearts will cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, receive, and believe, and receive the Holy Ghost." So today, I say to you, the Word of God is the most powerful. The Bible said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. It cuts us away from sin, and it brings us to God. The lamp of God's Word. The lamp of the genuine worship of God. A man walks into the podium. He reaches down, takes a quart jar. He takes from the top of the quart jar an empty jar according to the congregation. He says to the congregation, "I'm going to let God out of the quart jar." And you know, sometimes our worship becomes no more than that. We come together in a form and fashion. I have no problem with organization. I have no problem with planning our worship. I believe there ought to be organization. I believe that there ought to be order in the house of God. I do not believe in emotionalism. I do believe a lot in spiritualism. I don't believe in a lot of the false things that happens in the house of God. But nevertheless, when we come together, do we come together with genuine worship? Has God got the preeminence of the service? Are we only taking God from the quart jar after the service is over? We say, "Come on, God, get back in the quart jar, and we will take the lid off next Sunday and have church again." Is that all that our worship service is on Sunday morning? Is coming together, singing two songs, a pastor quoting a poem, having a prayer, giving a benediction, and leaving? Is it only become cold preachers preaching cold sermons to cold congregations? Is that all our worship has become? Then if so, sir, it is a worship that is not pleasing God. The lamps of Christian morals. And today, as we see a great deterioration in our morals, we see it on television. We hear it on the streets and on the sidewalks. Go into a fast food restaurant today. Ask for a condom. You can get it on the way out. I never dreamed that our nation would become like it is. Abortion. Babies are being aborted on every hand. Yes, sex is on the rampage. Prostitution is higher than it's ever been. AIDS is on the rampage. 60% in Africa already infected with AIDS. They have said that 20-some percent already in America. And we don't know exactly where we're going. It's due to the fact that we are no longer a moral nation that we used to be. We have become an immoral nation. They say, well, we need to have safe sex. Ma'am, the only safe sex, sir, that we can have is no sex at all unless it comes by marriage. But we've lost our morals. We have no respect for one another. And today we have lost the greatest thing that God ever gave us, and that's the moral attitude toward our fellow men. The lamp of the Christian home. You see, the light's gone out in the home, mister. The light is gone out in the home where no longer prayer is needed. The television sits in the corner. It is the most used piece of furniture in the house. It goes on at daylight. It goes off way after midnight. And today, as you know, our television, some of the programs are not worth watching. Oh, they say that you can program that one to where the children can't watch. But why put the children in bed and then mom and dad stay up and watch the one-eyed monster until midnight? Then roll out of bed early in the morning. Mom going one way and dad going another way. And the children are separated. And today, no wonder there's a great breakdown in the home. I know that mom has to work. I know that dad has to work. But there's got to be time for the family. There's got to be time when mom and dad and the children sit down together and have prayer and read the Word of God. Don't depend upon some preacher to get your son and daughter saved and on their way to heaven. Mom, it's your responsibility. The Bible said for you to bring up the child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. The Bible also says that one day that the children were raised to call their mother blessed. I know a fellow said just the other day, he said, this day and time that the children will raise up to say, I wonder where the old bags are. And isn't it sad today that
well, I hate to close that sermon. I'll tell you, that's good preaching if I am doing it. It's plain preaching. It's plain gospel preaching. And that's what we need in the world today. I was going to play a song, but I was enjoying listening to that. And that's the way I've always preached. I want to preach the truth to people because the Bible said the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. Our world is morally decaying right under our feet. There's no right. There's no wrong. It seems like there's nothing but chaos and trouble on every hand. But until we turn back to God, that's all we're going to see. Well, Father, I pray for every home. I pray for every soul that is listening this morning. I pray that you'll use my voice to minister to their heart. Wake up the spirit in them. And God put a new spirit in. You know, David cried, I want you to create a brand new spirit in me, O God. And forgive me because I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against thee. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Well, neighbor, it's really been good to be with you. I hope that you enjoy this Thanksgiving season and have a great Thanksgiving and a better day tomorrow, okay? Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.